All right, if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Luke chapter 2. And really excited to bring a Christmas message to you this morning in continuation of our little mini Christmas series that I felt the Lord prompt in my heart to title No Vacancy. And to really challenge us to make room for Jesus in our Christmas celebrations. And to make room for Jesus in our lives as we finish this year and finish a decade. You know, we'll start 2020 next year, and the Lord's just speaking to me about some things that he wants to do in us and through us and for us in 2020. But come on, let's not hold off to press into God. Let's begin to press into him even this morning and say, Lord, we want to finish our year strong. And as we gather together as a church and gather together as families this week and celebrate Jesus and celebrate Christmas, let's make room for God. Let's make room for the Holy Spirit, and let's make room for God to allow us and strengthen us and grace us to finish our year strong, looking forward to 2020 and a new decade. And I really believe that it's true because of Jesus and because of what he does even today in our hearts and in this place. I mean, come on, some of us that are facing some challenges. I mean, we're gathered here in this place. Hear me, people of God, to do so much more than sing some Christmas songs and hear an encouraging message. We'll do that today. But God wants to touch your life. And God wants to reach into your life. The reason for Christmas is that God sent Jesus into a fallen world, into humble circumstances, into broken circumstances, into a dusty, dirty manger of all places. He's not afraid of the dirty parts of this world or the dirty parts of our life. He sent Jesus right into the middle of it all. And so he's here this morning to reach into our lives. And I really believe, because of what he does this morning in our hearts, because of something that shifts, because of something that comes alive in our hearts, because of something that he does, because of something he reminds you of, because of something that he reveals to you, that the rest of your year really can be the best of your year. Come on, that's worth just meditating on, that even just these next 10 days, come on, there's 10 more days, 10 or 11 or 12 more days of this year, and I really believe that regardless of what 2019 has looked like, regardless of what this past decade has looked like, that because if you'll grab a hold, if you'll reach out this morning by faith, if you'll make room for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, the rest of your year can be the best of your year. The rest of your decade can be the best of your decade. Come on, look at someone next to you and tell them, the rest of your year can be the best of your year. Come on, look at someone next to you and tell them, come on, have some fun in church this morning. Connect, interact with me this morning. Come on. Luke chapter 2, are you there? If you've got your Bible, turn or flip there. And if you don't, they'll be kind enough to put it up on the screens behind me. And let's read together verse 1. We'll look at Luke chapter 2. We'll look at Matthew chapter 1 and 2. And in Luke chapter 2, it says this. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David. And he went there in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Come on, somebody say, no room. Right from the start, isn't it interesting? The response of our culture to the gift of God, to the sending of Jesus, the way, the truth, the life, the salvation, the freedom, the hope, the wisdom, the goodness of God. Isn't it interesting that right from the beginning, this we find in part of the Christmas story right here, that there was no room for Jesus. Listen, it doesn't stop what God was doing. There was no room at the inn, but there was room in the manger. And it didn't stop God's plan from happening, but it affected who had the privilege of being a part of it. And I challenged this last week. It's easy to look around and see that the people of the world who are not believers, the people in our culture who are not believers of Jesus, there's no room for God in their life, and there's no room for God in their homes, and there's no room for God and their system of beliefs. But I'm challenging us as the people of God. Come on, men of God, men of faith, women of destiny and purpose, and young people who are called to be world changers and difference makers, I'm challenging us that it's possible that our lives become so busy and we become so preoccupied with the things that the world prescribes as their definition of success that we can miss out on the fullness of what God intends to do in us and through us and for us. We can look up and realize that we're too busy to be a blessing. We can realize that we've got no room in our lives, our hearts, and our homes, and our schedules for what God desires to do in our lives. Listen, even our Christmas time, and I've heard it said before that if the enemy can't stop you from pursuing God, he'll just get behind you and push you. So you never really have time to just stop and enjoy what God's doing in your life. And even our Christmas celebrations this season, I mean, come on, does anyone feel just the weight of the busyness of it all? I mean, all the engagements and the get-togethers and the shopping that has to be done and the things that need to be prepared and the decorations that need to be gotten out and put up and all the lights that need to be fixed and all the things that go into all these things. We can look up and we can realize that we've become so busy with Christmas that there's no room for Christ in our Christmas. Make room. Make room for the work of God in your life. Make room in your Christmas celebrations for Christ. Come on, who's done shopping and who still has some shopping to do in these next 2 days? Where are my people at that I'm a notorious last-minute shopper? And it used to be that I was in Walmart on Christmas Eve. I remember seeing a few of you there the last couple years. But now I'm on Amazon, and I'm looking for all those things that are guaranteed delivery by Christmas. Come on, where are you? You've seen that thing on there. You're looking for all the things. They even give you an opportunity to sort it out. You know, like, what can I click and order today that will be here by Christmas Eve? Come on, who's there with me, right there with me, right? Yeah, see, there's a few honest people in the house this morning. And some of you are just preparers and planners, and you started shopping for Christmas on December 26th of last year. You know, you made your list and checked it twice, and you've had all the stuff waiting in your basement or your closet or wherever, you know, all year. But I was reminded of a story of a man and a wife who were shopping in a busy mall, just the hustle and bustle. Come on, do you remember what that used to feel like when before Amazon, when everyone was in the mall those last 3 or 4 days, you know? And now maybe it feels that way in Walmart still, but you remember what that used to feel like? I mean, the malls, remember the navigating the traffic there and everything and all the crowds? And so I was reminded of a story of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife who were navigating the hustle and bustle of a busy mall, and they were going about their shopping, and it was so busy, you know, the crowds were so thick that the wife looked up and she realized she had lost track of her husband. And she didn't know where he was, and so she looked for him, and she looked around, and she couldn't find him, and she was starting to actually worry and panic a little bit, you know. She knew he was probably okay, but they had lost track of each other, and he hadn't mentioned slipping away, and so she called him up on his phone, and she said, "Honey, where are you? I'm down here at this end of the mall. Where are you?" And he said, "Well, honey, you remember a couple years ago when we stepped into that jewelry store, and you saw that diamond bracelet and just fell in love with it, but at the time, we couldn't afford it." And she said, "Yeah, honey, I do." And he said, "Well, I'm in the sporting goods store that's right next to that jewelry store." Christ in your Christmas, amidst all the hustle and the bustle, all the things, all good things. Don't look up and realize that you really did. I mean, I know it's kind of cliche, but he really is the reason for the season. Make room for him in your life. Make room for him in your gatherings. Make room for him in your homes. Listen, there's a reward that comes from believing. And many people, whether they know it or not, are giving, are worshiping and honoring Jesus through just the word Christmas and through all the ways that we gather together. There's a reward for believing, but there's another level of blessing that comes when we begin to search after God, when we begin to seek after God, when we begin to be intentionally focused on making room and making space for him in our lives. And Revelation 3, verse 20, just a couple of these key scriptures that we visited last week, just refresh you, and then we'll go to Matthew chapter 2 and read more of the Christmas story. And I'll share some things that I believe are important, some things to focus on and prioritize that help us to make room and experience the fullness of what God has for us in this season. But it says, behold, Revelation 3, verse 20, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him and he with me. Isaiah 55, verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's knocking on the door of your heart. I'm just telling you, people of God, he's knocking. He's knocking on the door of your home. He's knocking on the door of your marriage. He's knocking on the door of your family gatherings for Christmas this year. Will we make time and will we make space to answer the ways that he's knocking, to make room for him? Turn back to Matthew chapter 2. We were in Luke chapter 2. Come on, just turn back two books back to the first book of the New Testament. And let's read some more of this Christmas story and just discover more of the blessing that comes from seeking after and searching after God. Again, there's a blessing that comes from believing in God. But there's a whole nother life of blessing and abundance and purpose and provision that comes when we begin, when we shift out of just believing in God and coming to church on Christmas to seeking after and searching after him with all of our heart, to making him the focus and the priority of not just this Christmas season, but of every season of our lives. Matthew chapter 2, picking up in verse 1, says this, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and we have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And so they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. Come on, somebody say, search carefully. And when you have found him, Bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And what we know from the rest of the story is that Herod's motives were not pure here. And he's trying to present himself as one of the ones who wants to seek after God and seek after this newly sent Savior that he may go and worship. But the reality, if you read the rest of the story, is that Herod was looking to identify where the Messiah would come so that he could snuff it out, so that he could literally and physically kill the promised Messiah. And it says that when they had heard the king, they departed, these wise men who were searching, who were seeking, who were traveling afar, who were leaving the busyness of their life and going on a journey to discover Christ. And it says, when they heard the king, they departed from some things. Maybe there's some ways and some things and some places that in this season God's calling you to depart from things. God's calling you to lay down maybe some good things so that you can discover some God things. There's a journey that he's calling you on, and maybe you've just kind of been going through the motions of maybe even your relationship with God, and there's a departure that God's inviting you to kind of leave the normal and find the extraordinary in this season. And it says that they departed. And it says that the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened up their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. And when you've encountered Christ, you can't go back the same way you came from. There was another way. And I'm just telling you, there's some of you that you've been kind of caught up in a way, a pattern. something that's held you back or hindered you. Come on, you know what that thing is in your life. And I'm telling you this morning that the same thing, the same promise holds true and rings true for you this morning. When you encounter Christ, you can't go back the way you came from. There's a new way. There's a different way. Come on, the rest of your year really can be the best of your year. Don't wait to make a resolution in 2020, because if it's tied arbitrarily to just the turning of a calendar, if it doesn't really happen in your heart in a way that compels you to begin to live differently and think differently and go beyond just believing to searching out and seeking out what God has, those things tend to fail and frustrate. But if God this morning begins to encounter you, grab a hold of it. Grab a hold of what he's speaking to you. What's that thing? What's that place that he's calling you? Come on, where's he calling you to depart from? What mindset, what pattern, what behavior, what relationship? Come on, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but you know, where's God calling you to depart from? Where's he inviting you to a different way? To encounter him in a way that causes you to think, you know, that once, that sounded good when we heard it. That sounded good when it was maybe fine in another season, but God has interrupted my life and he's spoken to my heart and he's showing me that there's a different way. I can't go back that way again. Make room for the word of God. And I want to encourage you with several things to make room for. Make room for in your life. As we finish 2019 and head into a new decade and a new year, and the first one is God's presence, and they all start with a P, God's presence and God's promises and God's purposes and God's people, that if we'll make room for those four things, come on, I'm just telling you that you'll look up just a month or two or three, I mean, really, with intentionality, say, Lord, I want to make room for these things in my life in a fresh way or a new way. I'm just telling you, hear me, man of God. Hear me, woman of God, I believe with all my heart, with every fiber of my being, that if we'll focus and we'll say, Lord, we're not just believing, but we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking and we're answering the knock of God upon our heart, and we're making room for your presence. We're making room for your presence. Matthew 1:23 says, look, the virgin will conceive a child. Behold, the virgin will conceive a child, and she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him what? Emmanuel, which means what? God with us, his presence. His presence, he's God with you. But I'm just telling you, I've been there and done this. I just get so busy with life that I'm not taking the time to make room in my life to experience his presence. And I'm just telling you, maybe if you're tired or weak or weary or wounded this morning, maybe it's because you might look back and realize that the same has happened and occurred in your life for whatever reason. Just going through the motions or going through the busyness of life. Listen, I'm just telling you, in the culture that we live in, I think it's especially true and it's especially possible that we, even as believers, the men and women of God, can look up and realize that we're so busy with life that we're not taking time to apprehend what really matters in life. Make time for God's presence. In the morning when you rise, throughout your day, when you gather with your family or coworkers for a meal, wherever it is, make room for God's presence. Make room to spend time with the one who Christmas is all about, beyond Christmas. Make room for his presence. Jeremiah 29:11-13 says this, you will seek me and find me when you what? Search for me with all of your heart. And in this season, I'm encouraging you, and I'm challenging you, and I'm reminding you, and I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting you back to what that really looks like for you. What's it look like for you to go after God with all of your heart? What's it look like for you to search after God with all of your heart? What's that look like? What's that sound like? There's a sound to going after God with all of your heart. Come on, there's a way that it looks to believe in God and go to church, and then there's a way that it looks, and there's a way that it sounds to go after God with all of your heart. And I'm telling you, is it possible? Hear me this morning. Is it possible that there's a whole different life? What would your life look like if in this season, by the grace of God, we can't summon our own strength or energy or just determination. We respond to something that God reveals to us. But what's possible for your life in this next season? What's possible for your marriage in this next season if we'll respond to this invitation? and go beyond believing to make room for what it looks like for us to seek after and search after God with all of your heart. Come on, just take a moment. Think about, what does that look like for you? What does that sound like for you? To go after him with all of your heart. To make room for his presence in your life. To make room for his promises, which are his word. And John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And you fast forward to verse 14 of that same chapter, John 1, and it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And if you want to get to know Jesus, get to know his word. And in this season, starting today and starting tonight as you go to bed and starting tomorrow morning as you rise for the rest of your year to be the best of your year, maybe there's a reminding or a prompting or an invitation back into the word of God. Make room for his presence. Make room for his word. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5 is talking about the young man, King Uzziah, who was only 16 years old, yet the ruler of the nation, of the people of God. And it says this about him, that he sought God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And I'm just telling you, in every area of your life, there's a promise and there's a word from God. And if there's an area that there's a challenge, I'm telling you, there's a promise. Everywhere where there's an opposition, everywhere where there's a problem, I'm just telling you, there's a promise, and it's in the word of God, but we have to seek after God's word. What's it look like for you in this season to respond to the gift of God, who is Jesus, that we're celebrating, that our culture is celebrating this week, and we call it Christmas? What's it look like for us to respond and make room for his presence and his promises? What's it look like to make room for his purposes? And this is the one that, as I was preparing, the Lord just really challenged me in personally and just showed me. I believe that the reason that he gave me more to share with you about purposes is because it's perhaps the greatest potential challenge to us as a people in the culture that we live in. That we get so busy that we miss out on the opportunity to be about what God's really called us to. That we're so caught up maybe in ways that we don't even understand fully. In the culture of the world and what it defines as success, that we miss the opportunity to connect to some of the things that God has invited us to. Make room for God's purpose. And hear me, woman of God, hear me, man of God, you were created for a purpose. And I'm thankful and I'm grateful that what we celebrate this week, come on, the manger happened with the cross in mind. And I'm thankful for salvation, and I'm thankful for eternal life, and I'm thankful for heaven. But I'm also thankful that the Bible says that he saved us for a purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9 says he saved us and he called us to a holy life. Come on this side of eternity. Not because of anything we've done, not because of anything we could do or ever deserve, but why? Because of his purpose and grace. You were saved for a purpose. There's a purpose behind Christmas. Make room in this next season for the purposes of God in your life. Don't be too busy to be a blessing. And you know, that's the answer. That's the thing that I hear so much from people is that, well, I would love to do that, or I would love to go on that mission, or I would love to commit to serve there, but I'm just too busy. And listen, I understand there are some things that God calls us to in certain seasons, and there are seasons of our lives, and there are things that God has called you to put your hands to, the business or the coaching or the whatever it is, the company that God's given you to steward and he's entrusted to you. And there's a way to go about doing those things and to take God with you and to commit that thing to God and to watch God move and work through the thing that seems like it's just part of the worldly system, but it can become sanctified when you commit it to God. So I'm not calling us to just lay down things that are important. I'm calling us to consecrate and dedicate the everything that God has called us to. But in some ways, we can become too busy to be a blessing. And, you know, I was thinking about it, and does anyone else get that little report that comes on your phone that tells you how much time you spent on your device in the last week or whatever? Come on, does anyone else get that? And is anyone else alarmed and frightened when you see that number when it comes across, you know? And here's the thing is, so our baby girl, Ava, she's not such a baby anymore. She's six, but she's always on my phone. I mean, it's like Daddy, can I play on your phone? Daddy, can I play on your phone? And she's always downloading all these girly games on my phone. And so just this morning, I was sitting there, and I looked down at my phone to look at a scripture, and I had like 7 or 8 push notifications from all these girly games, you know? I mean, these little things like my little pet, you know, telling me, I miss you, you know? Come see me. Come feed me. What I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's hard to feel manly when your phone is blowing up with all the My Little Pony games and everything, you know? But she puts all these games on my phone, and she loves to play on those games, you know? And so I have an out. I blame her. Whenever it comes back on my little report, you know, and it says I spent 14 hours on my device or on social media or whatever, you know, I'm like, well, it had to be Ava, right? It had to be Ava. Here's the thing. Is it possible that God actually created YouTube and Facebook to keep track of all the time that we really did have to answer the call of God on our life? Is it possible there's a timer clicking in heaven that's tracking all the accumulated hours of all the cat videos that you've watched in your lifetime? Is it possible that God started a timer and it's tracking all the sports bloopers videos that you've watched in your lifetime, you know? Is it possible? What I know is that we make time and we make room for what matters to us. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we make room for what matters. And here's the thing is the blessed life, the abundant life, is when what really matters begins to matter to me in such a way that I begin to live differently. And listen, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. And I don't want to look back at the end of my life and realize I was climbing the ladder of success, only to realize that the ladder was leaning on the wrong wall. And I got there, but where I got wasn't where God had invited me to go, because I bought into something that was tied more to what the culture says is success, when God was really inviting me to significance. And you need to hear this again. The blessed life. And it's not tied to bank accounts or amounts or position or status or stature. It's when what really matters begins to matter to us in a way that causes us to live differently. And we see it in Matthew chapter 19, the rich young ruler who was a godly man. He was a godly man and a successful man. And he came to Jesus and he said, I've done all these things. I serve God. And what do I have to do? And remember what Jesus told him. He said, go and sell all your possessions and give them away and then come and follow me. And the invitation was to follow him, but the stumbling block for this particular young man was his possessions. His possessions, the stronghold that he had on his possessions kept him from his purpose. And God doesn't always challenge everyone. I mean, we don't see that modeled through all the ways, all the people that he called. And listen, I really believe that he was calling this man into ministry. And Jesus knew, Jesus saw that the thing that was going to hold him back and keep him from making room for the purpose of God in his life were the things that he had accumulated. And he didn't challenge all the other disciples who became apostles with that same notion. But this man, he knew that there was something that he was holding on to that was going to keep him from making room for the purpose of God. Make room for the purpose of God. Listen, I really believe that God was challenging and calling this man to come into ministry. And I was studying that scripture this week, and the Lord just began to download to me. And here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. That this young, rich young ruler who held on to his possessions and missed his purpose was invited to come and follow Jesus and would have been one of the apostles who wrote some of the epistles that we have in the New Testament today. That he could have been one of the ones that we knew his name. Now we just know him as the rich young ruler. But if he had been willing to say, come on, what God was inviting him to, what he would have lost according to his own mind by going and selling these things, he would have gained way more, abundantly more, if he had been willing to make room for the purpose of God in his life. How much can God bless you with and you remain hungry for him? In a season of giving gifts, how many gifts can God give us? Come on, how much can he prosper us and we still remain desperate for more of him, the giver of the gifts? There was no room at the inn. Come on, just think about it. Even that was as a result of their prosperity and their success, they had built the hotel and it was busting at the seams. There was no room in the inn. A season of giving gifts. How much can God bless us with? Come on. We look around this room and we're blessed. I mean, if you have a car that you drove here and you have a roof over your head and you have a Christmas tree up in your home, come on, you're practically and materially more blessed than 90% of the free world. We're blessed. And let's not allow the fact that we want for little to keep us from going after God. Don't have to get in a bind before you get desperate and hungry for more of Jesus. Don't wait till your marriage is in a bind to get hungry and thirsty and desperate for God to come into your home and come into your life. Don't wait until a financial crisis till you start to call out to God and trust God. Come on, and right now in this season, make room for Him, for the giver of the gifts. I'll let it just pause right there. I've got another point, but just stand to your feet this morning and let's, by standing, just preparing to respond to whatever it is that God's speaking to you through this word this morning. What's he reminding you of? What's he revealing to you? In what area of your life is it possible that maybe you've become so busy that you're missing the opportunity to be a blessing? Lord Jesus, help us to make room. More of you, that's all we desire. More of you, that's what we want. And this Christmas, the best gift that we ever could receive is just more of your presence. More of you in our lives. More of you in our homes. More of you, Holy Spirit. Come on, right there where you are. I'm praying over us corporately, but I'm just telling you, there's a blessing that goes beyond believing when we begin seeking and searching and calling out. And I just think that's the theme of our prayer this morning. Lord, more of you. More of you. More of you. Right where you stand, man of God this morning, woman of destiny this morning, woman of God, come on, right there where you stand. Just begin in your own words to just call out, more of you, God. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Holy Spirit. What I need, what I want. Oh, that's powerful. What you need and what you want. I mean, there really are two different types of gifts that we think about and that we get and that we give at Christmas. What we need and what we want. What we need. I'm about to spoil one of our gifts, but we bought a blender for Christmas. No, we don't want a blender. We need a blender. I needed salvation. But there's a blessing that comes when what I desperately needed becomes what I fervently want more than anything. I needed Jesus, but now I want Jesus. I needed salvation, but now I want the presence of God in my life and in this church and in my marriage and in my home. There's something powerful that happens when we realize that Jesus is the gift that we desperately needed, but now we're responding to Him not out of our need to be saved or healed or forgiven, but now out of our fervent desire to just want more of Him. And so come on, right there where you are this morning, we got a couple minutes. Just take a moment and just call out to Him, Lord, more of you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just reminding and revealing, Lord, and just showing us, God, any place in our life that we become too busy or that we become preoccupied, the places in our hearts that have become filled with something that's not of you. Or maybe it once was of you, but now there's a new season and a different season. And thank you, Lord, for speaking to men of God and women of God this morning. And by your grace and because of your goodness, because you know the plans that you have for us, Lord, and you love us so much, Lord, you're not willing to let us stay where we are. Don't let us get stuck, God. More of you. Come on, right there. Just one more moment before we worship and then we'll dismiss you. Just call out to Him, Lord, more of you. I want more of you. And if there's anything that He's calling you to lay down, come on. In fact, I do this often, but let's do it right now. If there's something that God's calling you to lay down, just lift your hands before God in a way that's just saying, Lord, that thing, that mindset, that that area of my life, that pattern of behavior, whatever it is for you, I'm lifting up my holy hands in a way that's just symbolically saying, Lord, I'm leaving it here. I don't want to take it with me today. And in that same posture, it's a posture of receiving, Lord. In those places, Lord, thank you for just a fresh touch and filling of your Spirit today, in Jesus' name. And before we worship and dismiss, the most important thing that we do every week here at Rev City Church is give you an opportunity, if today you're far from God, to respond and receive the free gift of salvation. It happens, and we receive only by grace. We never could earn it, never deserve it. We just respond in faith and receive the free gift of salvation by grace. And maybe you're here this morning and you grew up in church, or you once knew and served God and you've drifted in your life. That's you. I'm just telling you, you are not here by accident. You're here because of the heart of a good father who's calling you. He's calling you back home to a relationship with him. Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Regardless of which one of those camps or anywhere in between you find yourself in, come on, right now, because of the presence of God just moving in your heart and speaking to your heart and drawing you back home right now without delay, come on, just lift, raise your hand high towards God and high towards heaven this morning and say, that's me, Pastor T. I'm far from God today, but I need to dedicate and receive the forgiveness of Jesus in my life today in a fresh way or a new way. Is there anyone here this morning? Thank you, Lord. Anyone here this morning? One more moment. Come on, lift that hand high this morning. You're not responding to me. You're not responding to anyone but God. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this young man. Thank you, Lord, for both hands lifted high, Lord, and that posture of receiving. Thank you, Lord, for just the work of salvation that's happening in this young man's life this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? I want to respond to come home to Jesus this morning. A fresh way, a new way. Come on, in a way that just will change your Christmas. You'll see Christmas like you never have before. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that when one person comes back, that the heavens rejoice. And so, come on, for this young man who's responded to the call of salvation, can we just give thanks to the Lord for his life and for his future? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to pray this prayer, and we're going to pray it together along with you. And we do it for a couple reasons, and one is to just affirm to you, come on, we want to be your church family. We want to help you to begin to grow in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus. Discover the life that he has for you. The other reason we do it is because it reminds us that we never graduate from grace, and we all need Jesus today, just like we needed him yesterday. And so come on, church, with just fervent faith this morning, can we just repeat this prayer after me? Come on, pray it with all of your heart. And just be reminded, this, what we're about to pray is the reason for Christmas. The cross, the manger happened with the cross in mind. So come on, pray it with passion. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior, and I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you that life, and I give you my trust, and because of Jesus, I'll never be the same. Come on, one more time. Because of Jesus, I'll never be the same. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord and give him thanks. We love you, young man. We're excited about what God's doing in your life. Come on, let's worship.